And so as we get started, just want to begin to just be able to point out the obvious, all right? But the voices that we listen to have extreme power and influence in our lives. So whatever it is, the people, the things that you consume, all of these things have insane power to affect and influence our decisions, our behavior, our thoughts, all these things. And this is a huge rabbit hole that we can't tackle in a single time, right? But what I want us to be able to just consider, I want you to ask yourself this question at the very beginning of our time. I want you to just ask yourself, whose voice is the loudest in your life? Whose voice, whose influence is the most loudest? The one that you're giving the most time to, the one that you're giving the most attention to. Who is it that you are listening to the most in your life? And so, for simplicity's sake, we're going to boil it all down to you're either listening to your own voice or we're listening to God's. And so I know there's a whole lot of different voices and things that we consume and we take in that we listen to, but I'm going to put them in the category of our own voice because those things that we consume, the things we listen to are affecting your thought and the way that you speak to yourself and what you're listening to. So I want to just ask you, whose voice are you listening to the most? Yours or God's? To put it another way, is there anything that God says about you that you struggle to embrace or accept? Are there things that in God's word that he declares over your life that you're like, nah, that's not me. That's nice, but that's not for me. Or to put it another way, do you find it easier for you to believe something that God says when you apply it to somebody else, but you really struggle to receive it for yourself? So I'll throw myself under the bus because you guys are just giving me a bunch of nothing today, and I appreciate it. Okay, it's fine. All right. Well, listen. I can look at your guys' life, and I can recognize and I can see the favor of God on your life. I can see, man, God has like huge things for you. If you'll just yield to him, if you'd partner with him and stop doing your own thing, I can look and I can say, yeah, I see that in your life. But then when you ask me or somebody says that to me, I'm like, I don't know about that. You can affirm and see the love of God in somebody else's life, but then do you receive and embrace and trust in the love of God for your life? So what I'm getting to is I'm actually asking us to ask the insanely hard question. Do you actually believe what God says? Do you actually believe what God says? We can't go anywhere in this thing that we're calling faith, that we're all in this trying to figure out how do we follow God, and we're all in this together trying to do this, but we can't go anywhere if we don't believe in what God says. This is the battleground for our faith. And so it's not a one moment thing where you're gonna, oh, I get it, I receive it now, so I'm good. No, this is a battle every single day. And some of you guys feel that and you're walking in here beaten and bruised. You came limping up here, up this hill from the parking lot, spiritually speaking, just limping, barely hanging on. And so the fight that you, if that defines you, the fight that you have today is for you to not allow your struggle from this last week to define you, but to allow the God of the Bible to define you. You don't allow your failures, you don't allow your inadequacies, you don't allow what you think about yourself to define you, but what we get to do as followers of Jesus is we get to step into the fact that God says something different about you than what you think about yourself. And oftentimes, it is way better than you can think about yourself. And I said often because there's some people that think too highly of themselves. But this is what Peter is inviting us into throughout the book of 1 Peter, is that he struggled. Did Peter believe every single word that Jesus said from the very onset? No, he struggled with it. He doubted it. There were moments where Peter's like, no, you're not going to die, Jesus. There's no way I'm going to let that happen to you. Right? Peter's like, no, I have these expectations about how this is going to work out, Jesus, and this is what it's going to do. And Peter really struggled with that. But then when Jesus went through and he humbled himself and he died on the cross, what happened to Peter? He walked away. He doubted it. His expectations of God were shattered, and he was like, what on earth? And he didn't know what to do. But then the risen Messiah showed up to him. And it was there where things clicked, and Peter began stop listening to himself, and he began to allow the voice of God to define his life. Peter was convinced that Jesus truly is God. And since Peter was convinced that Jesus truly is God, Peter had this sense that God could do what he said he was going to do. Jesus said that he was going to lay his life down, and 3 days later he was going to take it back up. Who does that except God himself? Well, Peter watched it with his eyes and he saw it happen. And so now Peter's convinced that Jesus is God. And because Jesus is God, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to accomplish what he says he's going to accomplish. And so then Peter learned the lesson that I'm begging that we would begin to learn as a church family, that because Jesus is God, what he says about you is true. And Peter began walking in it. He began understanding his life was not perfect, and that's why he's writing this letter. His life was filled with heartache, pain, disappointments. He was beaten, and he ended up being crucified. So was it perfect? Heck no. But in the midst of that, Peter understood that this world can do whatever the heck it wants to do to me. Because of my Lord, I'm protected by the hands of God. Peter was beginning, he was leaning into the voice of God, and that's what the invitation is for every single one of us today. That's the fight of faith, is that whose voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to our own? Are we going to listen to God's? Right? All of us, we battle. We battle in our minds. We battle with what we've done. We battle with what we feel about what we've done. We may carry shame with us, regret. You may feel insecure about yourself. You may worry about what other people think about you. You carry with you messages that you've heard from your parents or adults in your life that were speaking horrible things over you and dragging you down. And you carry those words and those wounds with you every single day. And you're wondering, man, are those things true of me? Carry with us pain of what we've experienced. We're all trying to just figure out what on earth is going on right now in the world, right? I mean, that's a stress. We have anxieties, we have worries, we have trials and difficulties in our life. And listen, I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. All those things I just mentioned assault your mind every day. And so what are we to do? If we're on our own, we are hopeless. If we're on our own, if we don't have a divine being that is stepping in and wanting to change this narrative for us, we're hopeless. That's why the health community is just now recognizing that loneliness is bad. If there's no hope, what are we to do with all this stuff in our minds? What are we to do with the fact that if we profess to be a follower of Jesus, that we actually have the forces of the enemy just wanting us to believe all these things and stay stuck? If we don't have hope, there's no wonder why depression is skyrocketing. There's no wonder why suicide rates are just keep going up every year. There's no wonder why the culture around us that doesn't have God keeps doing weirder and weirder stuff. Why the drugs keep getting harder and harder. This is a side point. I don't know if this is from God or if this is from me, but side point. There's some weird drugs out there. There's one that's called Trank. I mean, that's weird. And they do it and then they hang like zombies. They get stuck like that. That's weird. And I say that, I think that was from me, not from God, so sorry about that. but why are we going there? Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to navigate the voices in our mind. We're trying to navigate our experiences in life. We're trying to navigate these things. And if we don't listen to the voice of God, we're going to do stupid stuff. We're going to do whatever we can to try to help us just barely get through, to forget the pain we're experiencing, to do whatever. And that's why this world is getting chaotic, because they are without God. They're not listening to the voice of God. And so what Peter is desperately trying to do is he closes this letter, is he's trying to help us understand that if we listen to the voice of the Father, that he will protect us. And so before we read, I'm going to give you one more illustration. But I want to ask you, why is it so difficult for us to be able to receive encouragement or to receive a good word from somebody that's really trying to speak life into you? But it's so easy to be able to receive and embrace a negative word from somebody that we shouldn't care about. Why is it so easy for us to be able to be deflated by a off-the-cuff remark that is from the pit of hell, but it is so hard for us to be able to receive words of life from God? I'm asking myself this because I struggle with that myself. And Pastor Tim really is helping me with that and trying to speak life into me, but it's still awkward for me because I struggle receiving it. I didn't have anybody speaking that into my life, and I struggle with always feeling like I'm insecure, like I'm not enough, like I don't bring enough to the table. And so I've got my voices in my head, and so when I receive something, it makes me feel weird. And then Tim busts out the Tim eyes, you know? You guys know it, right? So I'm learning to receive it. But that's why when I look and I talk to some of you, why I'm trying to speak life into you, and I give you the Chris version of the eyes, right? And I just desperately want you to be able to understand, man, God has something for you, that I'm so proud of you, that I cannot believe the steps that I see in you. Keep fighting, keep doing. Why is it so hard to receive those things? And this is what I want us to really understand. If me and Pastor Tim, filled with all the sin and the flawed people that we are, if we can see things in you and we're trying to pump you up with words of life and get you to trust the Father, how much more does the God of the universe want to speak things over you? How much more does the God of the universe care about you and wants you to stop giving into the lies that you've been accustomed to living in light of? How much more? And so what I want you to walk away with is one thing, and I think that we can do this. I just have one point, and this is what I believe Peter is screaming for as he closes this book. He wants you to understand, he wants me to understand that God is for you. That God is for you. That your experiences may tell you one thing. That your mind might tell you one thing. That the people around you may be making you think something differently. But in the midst of all these things, Peter is screaming. The Spirit of God is screaming to you that God is for you. So because God is for you, are you listening to him? Or are we allowing our own voice to be louder than his? So that's where we're going. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. If you don't have a copy of the scripture, you can follow along on the screen behind me. They say this, they say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what is Peter getting at? So I want us to walk through a couple of things in verses 6 through 8, and then we'll focus on verses 9 through 11. But what is Peter getting at? He begins with, how are we to be able to listen to the voice of God? We need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. That's the mark of a follower of Jesus. It's not about your attendance in how often you're here or you're not. It's not about how much good you do. It's not about cleaning up your life. It's not about arriving in some potential version of you so that God can accept you and embrace you. Peter rolls in and he's like, man, this is what it means to be able to follow Jesus correctly. That you humble yourself before him. That we're submitting ourselves under him. That it's like what we read in Psalm 8 this morning, where it says, man, God, you put the stars and the moon in place. You know them by name. You're mindful of me. You care for me. It's this submission of heart to say, God, even though I may not like it, your way instead of mine. Your way instead of mine. It's this humility where we are following him instead of our own. And then what does he say? How do we do that humility? Part of humility is not carrying your junk on your own. Part of humility means that you actually rely on God. That you actually believe that he cares for you. What does this verse say? He says, casting your anxieties on him. Why? You need to tell me something here, because if you ain't because he cares for you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You got my back. I think right there, we could land the plane right there, because I think that some of us are stuck right there. You don't believe that God cares for you. And so what you need to be able to hear, and I've been praying all week that maybe for some of you in here today, that for the very first time, you would stop allowing yourself to be the loudest voice in your head, and that you would hear the voice of the Father crying out to you, say, just come to me. I know that you've got yourself in a mess and you think that you don't know how on earth you're going to get out of this, and you've done this and you've done this. And does God say anything about clean yourself up? He says, throw your cares, cast your anxiety on me. It's God is inviting you to relationship with him. He wants to commune with you. What did Peter do for a living before he started following Jesus? He's a fisherman. And so what did he do to be able to catch fish back then? He threw a net, right? So did Peter know something about throwing something heavy? You think this fisherman that's writing this, trying to give us a little imagery to be able to help us be able to understand, hey man, all this stuff that you're allowing to hold you back, all of that regret, all of that worry, all of that fear, all of your shame, all of the things that happened to you that shouldn't have happened to you, all your experience right now, all that junk that you're carrying, cast it on me. Throw it on me. What does this say? Does this say just throw it to somebody that doesn't care? God is inviting you to stop carrying all that on your own because he cares for you. He cares for you. Then he goes on and he talks about the enemy. He says we need to be sober-minded. We need to be watchful. Why? Because guess what? We aren't our only worst enemy. But we have the adversary. We have and all his stupid spiritual minions that are trying to pull us away from God. I can call them stupid because I don't like them. Okay, I'm sorry if that offended you, Miss Lori. But we have the forces of darkness that are trying to get us to lift our eyes off of Jesus and to focus on our problems. We've got the forces of darkness trying to get our eyes more on what you want to do rather than on God's best. We're attacked. It was said, man, he's prowling around like a roaring lion. Man, he's trying to scare the faith out of you. He's trying to distract you so that you don't hear the voice of God in your life and you settle for something else. So Peter is saying, man, be watchful. Man, be aware of the fact that we have somebody that is coming after us and they want to get us to the point where we're not listening to the voice of God. And if we're at that point, if we're not listening to the voice of God, then we are susceptible to attack. So then we get into today. And I told you, the main point is that God is for you. God is for you. So let's look at verses 9 through 11 one more time. He says this. He says, resist him. Talking about the adversary. Resist him. Firm in your faith. Knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, how does he end that? He ends that by reminding us that God has won. That God has the dominion, that the war is over. So we need to draw close to him. That's the invitation. God is for you. And he tells us that we need to resist the enemy. This is a call to action for us. We can't just sit around and just expect to just get holy because you're sitting in this chair. You can't expect to get closer and closer to God if you aren't pursuing that relationship at all. It's a call to action. We need to do things. The Bible is filled with things that we're supposed to do to be able to protect ourselves from attack. So if we aren't positioning ourselves where we're hearing the voice of God, then we're gonna lose our way. We're gonna lose our way. We're gonna make stupid decisions. We're going to pull further and further away from God because we're not listening to him. And we've done a really horrible job as a church in America of being able to understand that we desperately need a savior to step in and provide salvation for us. And I praise God that we at least have some sort of a recognition for that. We need a savior. You and I cannot save ourselves. We need this divine being who created the heavens to be able to step in and redeem us. Praise God. But what we've done a horrible job is that while we acknowledge that we needed him for our salvation, the way that we live our lives is if we're like, all right, God, I got this now. You did the hard work now. Just let me do this. And what Peter's like, man, you might be able to think that you're standing, but when these hard situations come where you're asking those hard questions and you're like, what on earth is going on? God, are you for me? You're not going to be able to stand worth a lick. We need to press in. Peter's like, man, if you understand that God is for you and that is where we get our strength, then that's where we begin to see God do things and we begin to walk in that power and that authority and the life that God desires for us. Like the forces of evil want us to be able to feel like we cannot approach God. They want us to be able to feel like we could do this on our own. The forces of evil want to rob you of peace. They want to rob you of joy. They want to rob you of that communion with God. They want you to be able to feel as if God doesn't have time for you. They want you to be able to believe the lie that, man, there are so many people out there that need so much more, so I'm not going to burden God. They want you to make choices that are just slightly off of God's best for you. And then if I can get you to do that, then I'll make you make another decision and another decision. And over the course of time where you're not listening and yielding and spending time with God, all of a sudden you find yourself at rock bottom and you're like, how did I get here? The forces of evil hate you. You get to this point where you don't even, you want to experience God, but you don't even know how to take that next step. Man, I've been there. That's miserable. And we believe that. We believe that we're stuck. We believe the voices in our head. We believe the voices from the enemy. Yet all the while, what is God screaming? I love you. God is for you. In your mess. When you've lost your way, not when you've turned back and you're taking some steps, right there in your junk, we all see it, just call it what it is, it's okay. In your junk, God is for you. He's for you. Right? It makes me think in James. James chapter 4, where James says like basically the same exact thing. James 4 verses 7 through 8. They say this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's a double promise. Right? Well, what is it saying? It's like word for word what Peter's trying to get us to say. Man, if you resist the enemy, what happens? He's going to flee because he doesn't have power over you. You resist, you get firm in your faith. You decide, I'm gonna listen to God's voice instead of my own. You spend time with him. You lean in and you try to learn what God is trying to do and what he desires for your life. You understand these things, and what happens is the enemy flees because he knows that he doesn't have jack on you. And then what's the other promise? That when you draw near to God, what happens? Man, he's gonna draw near to you. Now, is that limited to certain people? Is there a limitation there? No, that's just a promise, man. You draw near to God, he's going to draw near to you. You begin listening to his voice, man. He's going to make his voice heard. You're going to understand him. Right? How do we get firm in our faith? He says, resist him, firm in your faith. It's about positioning ourselves to hear the voice of God. And this is where we're really bad. This is where the attack is our voice or God's. Because so many of us don't have space in our lives to hear the voice of God. So just let that sit in there. I mean, I'm not going to make an excuse for it, man. We're horrible at it. Why is that? Because we've believed in ourselves. We've believed in the lie and the tactic of the enemy that we need to do all the things that we're doing. So our voice is the loudest. Our desires, our responsibilities are the loudest. We can roll as long as you want me to stay here. It doesn't look like you want me to stay here, so I'll keep it cooking. All right? Or we listen to the voice of God. Because, and he says, man, if you just know that you're not alone, he's in there to just remind you. That's another tactic of the enemies, make you feel like you're some sort of freak, that you're the only one that's struggling this way, that you're the only one going through this. And the way that Peter writes this, it's almost like when you endure hardship, read the New Testament. It seems like hardship is almost like a requirement for the kingdom. Jesus himself, when he was talking to his disciples, he says, man, don't be surprised when you experience suffering of many kinds for following me. Well, that doesn't make me want to follow Jesus, right? If we're listening to our own voice, then why would I do that? But if I understand that there's a greater voice, if I understand that the voice of heaven is there in the midst of it, that he's the one that has a bigger picture than just myself, that he has bigger plans that I could ever create on my own, that he redeems my soul, that he loves me when I feel unlovable, that I'm not a mistake, that he has plans for me, that God is for me, not against me. What do we take time to sing? That even though I feel like a loser and I can't hold my weight spiritually, that God sees me as a conqueror? What? It's this positioning ourselves so that we hear the voice of God. Whose voice are you listening to? And he says that as you endure, after you have suffered a little while, that's when God shows up. After you've suffered a little while. Verse 10, he says, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. He's saying, God is with you in your pain. God is with you in your misplaced expectations. God is with you in your heartache. God is with you. God is with you. And what does it say? It says, man, that he provided everything in his grace for you. That while we deserved nothing, while we were lost and we didn't even know we were lost, God provided a way for us to be able to be redeemed, to be able to be in right relationship with him, and we didn't do anything. It's according to his grace that he sent Christ. So what does that say about you from the Father? What is the voice of God screaming over every single one of us if we lean in and slow down and comprehend the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? That screams that you are loved. That screams that you are worth it. The crazy thing, as I was studying with Todd this week, this passage, Todd told me a little bit about his study on the word glory, our English word glory in the Bible. He says that the definition of that is God's good opinion expressed. That's what glory means. There's a difference between like the Shekinah glory, which is like oh gosh, I see the radiance of God, and then like glory. God created the heavens and the earth, and he saw that it was what? Good. That's the same word. It's God's good opinion expressed. And so what is this saying here? It says that God has reached out. He's redeemed us through Christ. And how does he see us? In glory. And so what does that tell you about how God is speaking over you? Because of our faith, if you put your faith in Jesus, that you can't save yourself, God is expressing a great opinion over you. He is drawing you to his presence, and you will one day stand before him faultless, blameless. He has an amazing opinion of you. And so now flip it. So who are you to speak differently about yourself? Who am I to be able to tell the God of the universe that I am worthless? Who am I to be able to tell the God of all creation that I am insignificant? So what Peter is trying to get all of us to see is that when we go through hard times, when we have no idea what on earth God is doing, we don't need to get our act together. We need to go to the throne. We need to spend time with him in his presence. It's not about cleaning things up. Man, all of us, we have a whole bunch of stuff that we need to get figured out in our lives. Our to-do list is bigger than anything, right? We have things we need to figure out. But what happens when we listen to the voice of God? When we approach him, what does it say? It says that he will himself restore. You have places in your life that you need restoration in. You have places in your heart that you, where you're thinking about yourself that is broken. You've made a lot of foolish decisions and you've sinned and you've destroyed different areas in your life and you feel like they're beyond repair. What does this say? Draw near to God and he will restore you. What does it go on? It says, he will himself confirm you. Do you doubt yourself? Do you feel insignificant? Do you ever wonder if you were a mistake? You wonder if you're too far gone? What is this saying? This is saying, I mean, the God of the universe, when we come to him, he confirms you. He gives you that sense that, man, you are here on purpose and you are loved. Confirm. Strengthen. Man, do you feel weak? You feel like, I don't even know what I can give this week, Chris. I don't think I can give anything to this week. Where do you find strength? It's in him. He will himself strengthen you. And then, man, how many of us need that establishment? We need to be able to have that firm foundation to build our lives upon. It's not found in anything that you can do in and of yourself. It's not found in another church family. It's not found in anything religion. It is found as you draw close to God. God himself will strengthen, confirm, establish, and restore you. And so, here's the point. Whose voice are you listening to? The way that we navigate through all of life is by figuring out, it's by making decisions. Are we going to listen to ourselves or are we going to listen and lean in and see what God has to say about you? And so, if you're here today, and some of the things that we've talked about are making sense to you. And you're like, man, I don't know if I know the God of the Bible the way that you're talking about. I don't know if I have that personal relationship with him. Then, man, today's the day. Stop listening to the voices of the enemy. And would you just come? You come during these. We're going to sing two songs. You come down front and somebody will pray with you. We will love to be able to talk with you about that. But for those of us here that we do have a relationship with God, I just want to ask you to experience him. I wish that I could get you to, I could do it for you. I wish I could do it for you. But this is the grand invitation that the God who created everything, he sent his son so that you can have right relationship with him through your faith and your trust in him. And now he wants to walk with you through life. So I understand that means that things are going to change. But I'm asking you, whose voice are you going to listen to? And there is hope and help to be found, and it happens in an instant. Would you come to him? When we're singing, man, just don't feel embarrassed if you need to just sit in your chair and you need to just pray. Man, respond to the Spirit of God right now because it is in these moments that God can strengthen you. If you have something heavy that you would like somebody to pray with you about, man, grab us before you leave here today. Do not leave if you are listening to the voices of the enemy or yourself. Would you hear the voice from our Father saying, he is for you. He loves you. Let's draw close to him.